Okay, Orachaim Hakadosh Parshas Bahar. It's Bahar B'chukos had his fish, but one thing at a time. Question already? Yeah, let's hear it.
Are we doing B'chukos tomorrow?
I'm not coming tomorrow, but we'll figure something out. We will not abandon Parshas B'chukos. Okay, let's start with the first piece. Bahar Sinai. Parsha begins Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Bahar Sinai Lema. Very unusual that we're referencing Har Sinai all of a sudden here. Tzarach ledas lama hizkir Har Sinai b'mitzvah zo. As we're about to talk about the mitzvah of Shemitah, about to talk about the mitzvah of Yovel. So why all of a sudden the throwback, the mention of Har Sinai? Ahagam shabu sein uzal amru. And even though we know very well from the Medrash Toras Kohanim, ki lalamir ba shekol ha-mitzvos nemru klaloseyan upratoseyan b'sinai. So we all know the famous, right? Ma inyan shmita etzal Har Sinai, that just like Har Sinai, just like the halachos of Shemitah rather, have all of their details spelled out. So too, all the mitzvos were taught with all of their details at Har Sinai. Okay, so great. So that's an important lesson to realize that Kol Hosein Uprat Hosein were taught at Sinai. But he says, Adayin yesh makum l'sheil haseinu. Lama lo limid zeh el b'mitzvah zeh b'diuk. But why dafka in the context of the mitzvah of Shemitah, in the mitzvah of Eretz Yisrael, do you want to make a point that all of the details of Sinai, all the details of mitzvahs were taught at Sinai? You could have taught that elsewhere. You could have picked another mitzvah and said, just like this mitzvah had all of its details taught, so too all the mitzvahs were taught with all their details at Sinai. Clearly the pasuk making a reference wants us to think about Kabbalah Satorah in the context of plowing and planting and harvesting the land of Israel. Hence the mitzvahs of Shemitah and Yovel. So he says, and it's a very contemporary sounding insight, V'ulai ki letzad shehizkir matnas haaretz, since the Torah is referencing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving us the great gift of Eretz Yisrael, tichsiv asher ani nosein is lashon, not just that I gave it to you, but it's a matana from me to you, dikdik lomar bar Sinai. So therefore, when you realize that you're being given the gift of Eretz Yisrael, you have to remind yourself that there's something called Har Sinai. Meaning what? Lomar ki machmas Har Sinai perush, mashekiblu bo, hi shenigmar hamatana, sha'al menas Torah nasan Hashem es haaretz. Because Eretz Yisrael without Torah is not really Eretz Yisrael, or it's not really ours. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a condition. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that if you want to have my gift of Eretz Yisrael, you need to have Torah. They say Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. They bring it from a few people. I think I saw it from Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. That in the Dayenu it says, had you brought us to Har Sinai and not given us the Torah, Dayenu. Right? But it doesn't say, had you brought us to Eretz Yisrael and not given us the Torah, Dayenu. That we don't have. Had you given us the Torah and not taken us to Eretz Yisrael, we say Dayenu. But it doesn't say, had you taken us to Eretz Yisrael without the Torah, Dayenu. Because Eretz Yisrael without the Torah is not Dayenu. Eretz Yisrael is given to us Almanas. We're going to have Torah. So what Dorachai HaKadosh is saying is that you might think that when we're in Galus, when we're outside of Eretz Yisrael, so we need Torah and mitzvahs in order to give us a sense of identity. But once I have a national homeland, so that becomes my identity. My bias is my identity. The place that I live and the people who I surround myself with. That's my identity. So the Torah is reminding us in no uncertain terms that Masha Kiblu Bo Hish Nigmar Matana. That's through Har Sinai, the Jews were zocha to what? To the gift of Eretz Yisrael, Shamanas Torah Nasan Hashem Asaretz. That's really important to remember. It's really important to remember that Eretz Yisrael has to be a place where it enhances our connection to Hashem, and not, God forbid, allows us to become casual about other mitzvot because I live in Eretz Yisrael, and that's already enough of a kesher to a Kadosh Baruch. Then he gives a second shot, similar but more bedarach halacha. And the Rambam paskins this way in the third parak of Hilchos Zechiah. You're not allowed to give a free gift to a Gentile. A free gift meaning if he doesn't give you anything in exchange. Obviously you could offer someone something if you have an understanding that, you know, by giving them something you're going to get something back. So then that's just called business. You might outwardly present it as a gift, but it's understood that it's really just a business move. Therefore, the Jewish people prior to Kabbalah Satorah were like what? We're like non-Jews. We're like nations of the world. And therefore, we weren't allowed to get a free gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'achar Kabbalah Satorah yachol litein lehem. But once we became Jews, so now we're allowed to receive gifts from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. L'zeh amar behar Sinai, shebezeh yuchol lomar asher ani nosin lachem. That it's only because you became Jewish at Har Sinai that I'm able to give you the gift of Eretz Yisrael. Which is also, it's very interesting. That means that we never really, right? It's a mat naschi. You have to look at Eretz Yisrael as a mat naschina. The Gemara says, the very first teaching of Rashbi and Shas, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Shas, is the Gemara in Brachos that says there are three things that we acquired with great difficulty. Three things that can only be nicknames by Yisurim. What are they? Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba. But here you see that no, Dafka Eretz Yisrael is Mat Naschina. Again, if we're giving something back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then even if we were non-Jews, he could give us Eretz Yisrael. He's saying we became Jewish at Har Sinai, and now we're able to be Makabel Mat Naschina. So that's what I'm saying. It's interesting with that Gemara. The Gemara says you have to kind of earn Eretz Yisrael through Yisurim. But there's a
You said there was Dafka that you keep the Torah. Kind of
on right. So I think the pshat simple. I think it's Yagati Matsasi, right? The Salevi and others bring Yagati Matsasi. If a person says I worked and I found Tamin, you should be believed. The Gemara Megill Dan Vav. So if Harshim say, what do you mean Yagati Matsasi? It's a stir me neube. Yagati means Yagia means I worked hard at something and I earned it. Mitzia means that I just simply found it. My father called me yesterday to wish me a happy birthday. Thanks so much. That wasn't a reminder. Yeah, Yutes Iyar is my birthday. That was yesterday. So my father called me and he said, give me a bracha. So I said, you should have continued good health. He said, thank you. What else? I said, you should have nachas from your children. So he said, what else? He said, give me a bracha for wealth. I said, okay, you should have a lot of hatzlacha in your parnassas. He said, yeah. He said, I found a penny today. So my father said, I found it. Okay, so mitzia. Yagati matzasi. So you don't look for pennies. You don't walk around looking, right? Sometimes you find it. Sometimes you're walking down the street. I was walking home one day in high school, and I found $12 on the floor. My best find is I was walking on West Englewood near Dougie's and Teaneck, and all of a sudden a $20 bill flew by. Scooped it up. So I wasn't looking for it. There was no yagia. There was no effort that went into it. It's kula mitzia. So I think that's the pshat here. So Chazal say yagati matzasi, meaning even after I toil in Torah and I put in my amelis, there's still an element of mitzia. You can work for 10 hours on that Tosfos, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu lets it click in your head, and the light bulb goes on, you finally understand what Tosfos is trying to say. So that's a mitzia. There's an element of mitzia. So I think the same thing here. Yes, we have to earn Eretz Yisrael through Kabbalah Samitzvos, the Gemara and Brachos, through Yisurim, through a willingness to toil and to suffer hardship on behalf of Eretz Yisrael. But there's still an element of Matnas Chinam, which is why we have to become Jewish in order to be eligible for Matnas Chinam. So that's the Bahar Sinai, he says. That the Bahar Sinai allows it to be Ani Nosen Lachem. And now you understand why Dafka here, the Pasuk says, Tell B'nai, Da'a B'nai Yisrael, Ki Savoa La'aretz Asher Ani Nosen Lachem. Why Dafka here is the Torah emphasizing, when you come to the land that I will give you. He says, take for example, a couple weeks ago, Parshas Kedoshim, the mitzvah of Arla. By the mitzvah of Arla, it says, Ki Savoa La'aretz, when you come to the land, and you plant fruit-bearing trees, for the first 3 years, that shall not be yours. The fourth year, it's not to revive. The fifth year, it's all yours. It doesn't say over there, when you come to the land, that I will give you. So why Dafka here is it emphasizing, Asher ani nosin lechem, the land that I will give you. I have a lohu tzrach lomar basimon, by Arla, when it says, Kisavo ala aretz v'netatem, it doesn't say that I will give you. It doesn't give that indication. El sheneskavi l'masha kasadlo. So it's exactly like we're explaining here. That what the Dafka here, since we're highlighting the right to Eretz Yisrael, which is a Mat Naschinam, so over here, it's the Har Sinai which allows us to Asher Ani Nosin Lachem, that there should be a Mat Naschinam taking place. Uma'ata Yisyashiv Lama Bachar Hashem V'Lamid Binyan Avzeh L'Chol HaTorah B'Parsha Zu V'Lo B'Parsha Acheres. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to emphasize Har Sinai Dafka in this context. Again, Yes, every mitzvah was nemru klal oseinu pat oseinu b'sinai. But again, in the context of Eretz Yisrael, number one, we want to remind ourselves that Eretz Yisrael was given to us al manas, that we will study Torah. And furthermore, the gift of Eretz Yisrael is only eligible for a Jew who is a Jew. And we became a Jew at our Sinai. Okay. All right, the main piece I want to look at, let's turn to Pasuk Chaf Hei. Chaf Hei, Chaf Hei. After the Pesukim talk about Shemitah, and the Pesukim talk about Yovel, then it describes the following. Ki yamuch achicha umachar meachuzasa. Very sad situation. Ki yamuch achicha, when your brother becomes mach. Mach means poor. When your brother becomes impoverished, umachar meachuzasa, and he has to sell his ancestral plot of land. He has to give up his portion of Eretz Yisrael because he simply can't survive otherwise. Uva goalo hakarov elav. And then a relative comes and says, listen, I want to help my relative, I want to help him get his piece of land back. I want to buy it back from the one who he sold it to. V'galas mimkar achiv. And he wants to redeem that which his brother has sold. He wants to help his brother get back his portion of the land. V'ish ki lo yeh lo goel. But if a person doesn't have a goel, v'yisiga yadu matza kedei gulaso. So let's say, right, there is no redeemer. There's no one to take care of him right away. And then over time, he acquires the means. So he sold the land, he sold his piece of land. And he got a little bit of money. And he invested it well. And it grew into a little bit more money. And he's able to buy back his land. Right? Now what's the extreme example? Meaning, if he doesn't buy back his land, is it lost forever? He never gets it back? He gets it back by Yovel. But if he wants to buy it back along the way, so let's say he sold it for $100, right? And there were 10 years left to Yovel. And now 3 years go by, and now he wants to buy it back. Okay, so you prorate it, right? Sold for $100 for 10 years, so $10 a year, from there between now and Yovel. And 3 years have gone by, right? So he used it for 3 years, so that was $30 worth. So now there's 7 years, I want to redeem it 7 years early, 7 years before Yovel, so I have to give him back $70. So that's what the pasuk describes. But yisiga yado matzak deigulasa, if he comes into the means to reacquire his land. So v'chisha v'shnei mimkaro, they cheshbin out based on the amount of years that it was out of his hands versus on how much the original sale was. V'heishiv es ha'odef le'isha sher machalo, he gives the difference to the one who he had sold it to. Right? V'sham lachuz also, and he redeems his plot. But if he never comes into the means to redeem his field, so Yovel resets everything and everyone goes back to their territory. Okay, so the sale will obviously take into consideration at the time that he sold it, how far away is Yovel, right? If it's the beginning of a Yovel cycle, has 40 years till Yovel, 45 years till Yovel, 48 years till Yovel, so okay, so he's going to pay more for it. If it's 2 years away from Yovel, he knows it's basically a 2-year rental, max, and he's not going to pay as much for it. Okay? So that's the Parsha. That's the Parsha in terms of the Pasha Psha. Rechaim HaKadosh, Kedarko B'Kodesh, says, I want to explain this whole thing to you as describing Galus and Geula. And I want your impoverished brother to be none other than Hashem Himself. Look what he writes. Chafei, Chafei. Ki amuch achicha. Parsha zo tirmuz inyan gadol v'ha'ara liyoshvei teva. This parsha sheds great light and offers great insight to those of us who are on planet Earth trying to move the world of Olam Hazeh towards the world of Olam Haba. Right? Trying to advance this less perfect world for a more perfect world, towards a more perfect world. Ki amuch, when he becomes impoverished. Who becomes impoverished? Derech Omro, he says, it reminds me of the pasuk Ba'atzaltayim Yimach Hamikareh. The Gemara explains in that pasuk in Kohelet, in your laziness, in your atzlus, the roof has been compromised. The roof has been weakened. Right? The roof collapsed. Because you were lazy and you didn't take care of it, he said, oh, it's just like a small little crack in the roof. I'm sure it'll hold up, right? And then the whole roof collapsed. So Chazal Darshan, the Gemara in Tanis, on Daf Zayin, what does it mean, Ba'atzaltayim Yimach Hamikareh? It's a very powerful drasha. Listen to this drasha of Chazal. Asisim la'oso shenemar bo hamikareh b'mayim al yosav. You have caused to the one who roofs the heavens with water, right? Meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, the one who sets up the boundaries of the universe, you, so to speak, have made him mach. You've made him weak. You've made him impoverished. Here, Chazal reading it. Ba'atzal taim, through your laziness, through your lack of commitment to Torah and mitzvos, yimach hamikare. You have weakened the roof fell in, right? But you've impoverished the roof. You've impoverished the one who's mamale kolamin v'sovev kolam. You've impoverished the one who's above, the transcendent God. You've caused the roof to collapse. Ki kishatachtonim matim miderach hatov. Again, we've seen this idea a few times in our Chaim Kodesh, but this is a very strong one. That when the tachtonim, when human beings, that's why he introduced the piece, that I want to share a deep insight for Yoshvei Tevel, for people on earth, for human beings. Because when the tachtonim, when us below, in this world, matim miderach hatov, when we divert our attention from the proper path, we stray from the proper path, v'stalkim hashpos, we cause the hashpa that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send to this world, all the good things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to send to properly guide this world, we cause it to depart, who mismaskin omen HaKadusha. And we compromise. We compromise the stability and the safety of the spiritual energy of the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is radiating his divine light into the world. And when we act the way that Jews shouldn't act, then kiviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't give the world what it needs. So in a certain sense, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon us, is what he's saying. And in case you're not 100% sure that's what he's saying, look at the next four words. Ki ha'ikar taloi v'tachton. Very strong words. Ikar taloi v'tachton. Right, that the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability to operate in this world is dependent upon the tachton. It's amazing. Hashem tzilcha, Hashem is your shadow. You set the tone. Proper avodas Hashem, Hashem says, I'm happy to give a lot of goodness to the world. But if you're going to act in a way that a yid shouldn't act, so the mistalkum hashpos, the divine shefa is going to be removed or pulled back. So what happens? So a Jew acts in an improper way, and now the brother has been impoverished, the brother is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He'll say in a few lines, I'll just give you a heads up. Why is Hashem the brother? Hashem is the brother because laman achai v'rei'ai. Hashem is the brother especially for those who treat him properly. So the one who could be and should be a brother, and you'll see how Hashem's going to turn to the tzaddikim to help him, right? He's going through a difficult situation. Just like this person, this individual, this brother, this Jew in this pasuk, is going through a tough time, and he turns to his closest relatives to try to bail him out. So Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to the tzaddikim to try to save the day. Okay, let's take a look. So he says again, Va'amar u'machar me'achuzaso. So when the brother becomes weakened, he becomes impoverished, and he needs to sell his ancestral plot, Yirtzeh al ha-mishkan, Mishkan ha'idus, Asher hu achuzaso yizbarach, Shebo hishra shchinaso. What does the Kadosh Baruch Hu have to sell? Well, Hashem has to sell his house in this world. Hashem has to allow for Chorban Beis HaMikdash, or at least a lessening of the presence of the Shekhinah. And unfortunately, in our sins, the house has been sold. In case you didn't know, there's a mosque sitting on top of the Kodesh Kadashim. Like it says in the Medrash Tehillim, Beferish Apostle, Mizmor La'asav Bo Goyim V'Gomer, as Chazal Darshan, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu sold his house. Now we'll see, he sold his house to save us. We'll come back to that. That's the famous, this Medrash Tehillim is the famous Medrash that a Kodesh Baruch Hu poured out his wrath on Eitzim V'Avanim instead of destroying Klal Yisrael. He's going to come back to that point. But the bottom line is, Mizmor La'asaf, the bottom line is, Tehillim is acknowledging, and it's a Mizmor again, because Hashem didn't destroy us, so there's an element of joy in it, right? But Bo Goyim Nachlasecha, the Goyim entered your Heichal, they entered your Nachla. You've sold your ancestral plot to the Goyim. Vodia Kasav Kigulasu, he biyat hatzadik asher yekar v'Hashem. So who's the first line of defense? Let's just review the Pesukim. Again, a person becomes poor, he sells his ancestral plot, he sells his family's land in Israel. The first line of defense is what? Is that the relative, a close relative, will bail him out. If that doesn't work, maybe Behesiga Yaldo, he'll come into his own money. And if that doesn't work, we rely on Yovel as the, you know, last line of defense. Yovel is Mashiach if we don't make it happen before the set time. Exactly. Okay, so let's see. So the first line of defense is what is again that the relative should come to the rescue. Ki yu'lasu hi biyat hatzadik asher yakar v'Hashem. Kadosh Baruch Hu turns to his relatives to help him out. Who's the relative of Hashem? Who's the karu of Hashem? The tzaddik. Al derech omro, like it says in the pasuk, bikrovai akadesh. Hu yigal mimkar achiv. That Hashem turns to the tzaddik and says, maybe your merits, maybe your guidance, maybe your directing of Klal Yisrael can push us back in the right direction. Ki Adon Baruch Hu yikra letzadikim ach kviyachol. Dechsiv leman achai v'ra'ai. Because Hashem considers the tzaddikim like his brothers. It's a partnership. Va'gula tia b'hoir libos b'nei adam. And the Gula will come about when you have tzaddikim like the Lubavitch Rebbe who are screaming about, what are we doing? Have we forgotten about Mashiach? Have we forgotten about the mosque on top of the Beis HaMikdash? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is turning to the tzaddikim, and he's going to hold them very much accountable, as he's about to say, to be ma'orer the hearts of the Jews to come on, get with the program. The Rebbeinu Shlomo himself, kivyachol, is suffering, and you're just sitting there unmoved by it. Vayomer lehem, the tzaddik should say to them, Hatov lachem ki teishu chutz, golem yal shulchan avicham. Are you satisfied just sitting outside? No, not at your father's table? Don't you want to come back to Beis HaMikdash? Don't you want to come back to Yerushalayim? What good is life, right? What pleasure is there in this world other than to be a part of the Chevra Elyona? To be part of the elevated Chevra, right? Rishon Baruch Chai said, Re'isi B'nai Aliyah, I see that the B'nai Aliyah are quite few. If there's two in the world, it's me and you, said to his son. And people are not thinking about this. We need the tzaddikim to help us to redirect us. Have we gotten satisfied sitting at our table in Galus? Do we now want to return to be part of the Chevra Yona, sitting by Shulchan Avichem? Sitting by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's table? V'yamiz be'in of taivas hanidmim v'yayireim v'cheshek haruchani gam nirgash labal nefesh kol chai ad desher yitivu ma'aseim. The tzaddik says, stop giving into these cheap pleasures. And he teaches us, he's repulsed by it, and he teaches us to be repulsed by it. And he wakes us up and says, come on, we have Rabban Shalom himself is poor, and it's your fault. You've impoverished God himself. You've impoverished Hashem's presence in this world, is what it means. Uvezeh yigal Hashem mimkaro. And then hopefully, if the tzaddik can wake us up, okay, so then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will buy back his land. And he says here, it's not only that Hashem is counting on the tzaddikim, and the tzaddikim have this koach, but the tzaddikim are really going to be held accountable for this in a heavy way. The tzaddikim have an expectation, right? Part of their emunah in Klal Yisrael, and part of their job as the gedolim, as the tzaddikim, is to keep pushing on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To constantly remind Klal Yisrael, this is a bizayon. You're sitting in a big house in, you know, in Chutz La'aretz, and Hashem's house is covered with a mosque. And you're not thinking about that. Okay, maybe you don't have the answer to how to solve that in 2 seconds. But it does, you know, you're busy building your new house. Aren't you like a little bit concerned about the Rebbeinu Shalom's house? Are you thinking about it? Are you davening over it in a serious way? Are you making steps towards the Geula, both personally and collectively? Okay? That's a big deal. So then the Pasuk says, Pasuk Chavav V'omer V'ish Ki Lo Yelo Goel. So what happens if you don't have a goel? What if there is no tzaddik? Or the tzaddik's not being matzliach? The tzaddik is screaming and screaming and screaming. Yeah, Chav Ches Nisan. The day the Lubavitch Rebbe said to everyone, I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. You're taking over. I've been screaming for years about Mashiach. I have no more energy left. I have nothing left to give. And that's it. It's your turn now. I tried to teach you to care. Either you care or you don't care. But I'm done. I'm done telling you to care. Now it's your job to care. They said that was one of the most frightful gatherings where the Rebbe ever spoke. Where he basically said, at some point, the tzaddik says to you, you have to take on the achrayas. So what happens if, God forbid, we haven't taken on the achrayas? Right? What are the alternate paths to the gula? V'amru ish ki lo yelo gov. The ish doesn't have a goal. Now we're calling him, we called him a brother, and now we're calling him an ish. We said the brother was Hashem. Who's the ish? Hashem. Hashem ish milchama. Al derech omram, like the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, ein ish ala kadosh baruch hu. What if the ish doesn't have a goal? What if Hashem, who's also called ish, Hashem ish milchama, doesn't have a goal? Kishalo yelo goel ki ein ish sam aleiv. If no one takes the matters to heart, the pain of Hashem, the impoverished state of the Shechina, to heart. Ein menahel, ve'ein machzik bi'ad uma yisraelis la'shiva alaviyah. There's no guide, there's no leader, there's no one who's stepping up. trying to push Klal Yisrael back on the right path, or even if there is, they're not getting it. Al tomar ki chas v'shalom of the tikva. Don't believe that we're permanently stuck. There is another path. Not a pleasant path, but there is another path. El v'asigi yadu matza kadeh gulaso. The pasuk says that the person himself could come into some money and he can redeem himself. Okay, that's b'derach pshat. But what does this v'hisiga yado mean, according to this mahalach? He says v'hisiga yado means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can even the score with us by beating us up. Yisurim. If I can't pay for my sins, which caused Hashem to sell his house, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you can pay for it another way. You can pay for it with, not mitzvot, but you can pay for it with yisurim. Because the suffering of the Jewish people also generates merit. We don't only generate merit through mitzvah samayisim tovim, through care and concern for Kadosh Baruch Hu, we generate merit through our pain. That also moves us closer. How does v'hisiga yado, which again literally means that he comes upon some money, right? His means suffice and he acquires enough for its redemption, says the Ratzko. Hisigiyado means his hand attains, right? Vasig, he attains some money. So he says, how does Vasigiyado mean that he's equal Yisurim, equal punishment and galus and suffering? He quotes the pasuk in Devarim Parak Beis, Yad Hashem Hoy Sabam, Shehimida Sagvura. Vihisigiyado means that HaKadosh Baruch will extend his Yad, his hand of Gvura, over you. And that midas hagvura hachovetes buuma begalas mar, which is striking at us while we find ourselves in the state of the bitter galas, uvam so ze yasig limso kadeh geulas habayis, and we buy back the house, so to speak, with our suffering and galas. Again, we impoverish Hashem with our sins. We could try to come back in a positive way, but if not, okay, so we'll sit. You know, person does a crime, you go to jail, right? And after you're doing time in jail, so you get to be a free person again. You didn't necessarily do anything so positive in jail, right? But you took the penalty that you were supposed to get. So too, Klai Yisrael could also. We could go to Golos, we could suffer Yisurin, and that, he says, is a Tikkun Ha'uma, Lachshira. That also purifies and corrects Klai Yisrael. Okay? Then the Pasuk says, how do you calculate when he buys back his land? The pasuk says, "V'chishav eshnei mimkaro." Right? He calculates the years of the sale to figure out how to prorate it based on the number of years that it was out of his hands. So, what does that mean? Hinei litzad shehamechar hu ba'avonoseinu. Since the sale was caused by our sins, like the Navi says in Yeshaya, "Hein ba'avonoseichem nimkartem va'avon hu chov al adam," and sin is like a chov; it's like a debt that has to be paid. And again, we're paying it now through Gullus and Yisurim. B'shas kriyas ashtar tzarech la'asas cheshbon achov sha'alav v'lifro anishar. So sometimes a person has, you know, numerous documents, right? Saying he owes this, or he owes that. Right? So we'll rip up the document, I'll tear up the shtar, but you need to pay the difference. I mean, this shtar says that you were going to work for me for 7 years for this amount of money, and now you want to leave after a couple of years. Okay, so let's make a cheshbon. So same thing here. Maybe we paid for a little bit with mitzvos and maisim tovim. Maybe we paid for a little bit with galus and yisurim. So we have to make a cheshbon. We have to figure out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to calculate: have we paid off, and have we earned enough suffering to buy back the house, to buy back the Beis Hamikdash, to buy back Hashras Hashchina? I think I told you once. Rav Elchanan Wasserman says that when it says in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, right, very similar to this Lashon of the pasuk here, it says v'chishav es shnei mimkaro, that you should calculate the years of the sale. So in the Haggadah Shel Pesach, what do we say? Kadosh Baruch Hu was chishav es haketz. What does chishav es haketz mean? He calculated the end. Hashem figured out when the galus is going to be over. Okay, but Rav Elchanan Wasserman added, and again, it's really a tefillah for us. V'chishav es haketz also means that Kadosh Baruch Hu considered not just the end, such as the end time, but remember what we said, and remember? He considered well, what? Right, he considered the extreme. Ketz means he considered the end, he took everything to the most extreme. HaKadosh Baruch Hu understood everything and explained everything and viewed everything in the most extreme way. meaning the smallest pain, which you could say, that's not Yisurim. Hashem says, yeah, that's Yisurim. Like the Gemara says in Maseches Arachin, you put your hand into your pocket and you're trying to take out one type of coin, you take out a different type of coin, and you say, oh, you took out the wrong coin. Yisurim. Terrible Yisurim. Yeah? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu considers that as well. So here HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to make a cheshbon. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to figure out how much we owe. V'chishev eshneim imkaro, hashanim shenishar habayis machor, v'yisnake lefi shir hashanim me'avonos Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to figure out how much we've paid for with mitzvos, how much we've paid for with galus, va'odes yashiv al derech omer, and the rest has to be, right, the remainder has to still be collected. I think Gemara says in Yoma, mishpatei hatshuva v'tikuneha tshuva samishko, im adam nen ame'a avon yisagi fatzmo kishir mashanen ame'a chet. So if you got X amount of pleasure from this Aveira, you need to have X amount of suffering in order to pay it off. Okay, so it's very precise. The system of selling the Beis HaMikdash and buying back the Beis HaMikdash because of our sins is very precise. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we get closer to the Geula, Hashem is counting to see, do we have enough merit yet? Do we have enough merit yet? Are we there yet? Have we suffered enough? Have we earned it enough? Hashem is always taking stock, of the efforts that we've made or the suffering that we've endured in order to hopefully get the Beis HaMikdash back as quickly as we can. V'hu ma'amaram, and that's what it means, shiuchev le'mashiach. U'vizeh v'shav la'achuzaso. So this is the suffering of the end of days, and through this, shav la'achuzaso, hopefully Hashem comes back to his portion. Perish, chozer al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, Hashem comes back to Beis HaMikdash, and we're chozer to Hashem. We return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam al Yisrael, al derech omer, v'shav Hashem es shvuscha. It's not only Hashem returning to us, but it's us returning to Him. Through our suffering, we become close to Him. V'am rozal, like it says, yashiv lo nemar el v'shav. It doesn't say that we alone will return, but He will return with us. So it's a group effort. Right? Hashem kiviyachol is suffering with us in the galus, and then eventually we pay it off and earn it and come back. Now what happens again if we don't pay it off? What happens if we... See, part of paying it off is simply the realization that galus is a punishment. That's a really important point. I'm glad I said that. I'm going to say it again. Part of paying it off is realizing that galus is a punishment. I can't get credit for suffering in galus. I can't collect on the fact that, oh yeah, I live in Bergenfield, New Jersey, not Yerushalayim, Mir Kodesh, unless I wake up in the morning feeling, oh yeah, I live in Bergenfield, New Jersey, not Yerushalayim, Mir Kodesh. If Bergenfield, God forbid, becomes my lechatchila, so then I'm not, right? And that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu is calculating. Hashem is looking, do you care? Are you really suffering on my behalf? Are you really paying it off? If Gullus becomes enjoyable to you, and that's why the tzaddikim again have to scream at us and say, "Ma yerev lachem achayim v'olam zula sachev v'alyon." What are you doing? This is terrible. You can't live like this. So if I'm aware of that, so then the points are adding up. But if I become complacent and I think that this isn't a punishment, so then it's not going to be counted as a punishment. That's part of Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem following your lead in terms of setting a tone. Yeah, Rami, what do you want to say?
I'm just like, the attitude of being indifferent, and that's like they say is the worst.
Right,
like
what they describe. Right. To become indifferent to the fact that Hashem doesn't have a bias, and I do, is a double offense. Number one, you don't even have a bias either. You're also in Gullus. So you need to know that. And number two, how could you not be pained over the fact that the master of the universe has been silenced by the nations of the world? And there's no expression in this world, and there's no Hashem HaShechina. And that's our fault, right? Sastam, it's our fault. The running theme of the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh, it's always our fault. It's never Hashem's fault.
And
the
go ahead.
Why can't it be their fault?
Yeah, it's a little bit their fault. He throws them under the bus also once in a while. Yeah, Jack, you want to take that song?
Are we going to walk around like life just being sad about it? Like, there's so many mitzvahs I have to have to serve Hashem. Like,
right.
Not even like a...
Right, it's a good question. That's a good question.
Yeah.
I mean, how do I strike a balance between waking up in the morning being genuinely pained over the Beis HaMikdash and at the same time being able to serve Hashem,
like, be happy
with Simcha? Right? It was just Hashem b'Simcha, it was just Hashem b'Yira. Right? And how do I How do I balance in my mind and in my heart the fact that I can have those things simultaneously? Okay, so that's the chiddush of the Jewish people. The chiddush of the Jewish people, like we learned last week in La Bomer, that's like Hashem is crying and rejoicing, crying on the inside, rejoicing on the outside. So that's how a Jew has to walk through this world. I have to be crying on the inside, rejoicing on the outside. Remember I told you that story? When I went to that Malav Malka by the Stuchiner, he was telling all sorts of Sipurei Tzaddikim. But he told, it's a famous story. He told the story when the Chos of Lublin, when the Yismach Moshe went to the Chos of Lublin. Yismach Moshe wasn't a chassid for the first large chunk of his life. He was a big gon and a big tzaddik, but he wasn't a chassid. And then his son-in-law got him to go to the Chos of Lublin. And he wanted to talk to the Chos of Lublin about how tzaddikim are, how chassidim are always happy, right, when there's Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So he walks in. He walks into the Chos of Lublin, and the Chos says to him, "Maishala." He says, "Maishala, why do you look so sad? Even though we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, right? But it says in the Chovas HaLevavos that a tzaddik or a chassid has sadness in his heart and a smile on his face. So how do you walk around like that?" That was exactly the question he came to ask him before he said anything. And then the other part of the story was that the Yismach Moshe Dafka wanted the answer to come through the Chos of Lublin, and he said, the Yismach Moshe said, "HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though I know that you have the answer to this question, but I Dafka want the answer to come through the Chos of Lublin." So the Chos of Lublin said to him, after he told him the answer, he said, "It says in Chovas HaLevavos that a chassid has to have sadness in his heart and a smile on his face." And then he said to him, "And don't be surprised that the answer came through, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a lot of different shlichim in the world to send answers." And it was like exactly the whole cheshbon that the Yismach Moshe has. So after that, he became a chassid. That was it. All you need is one such encounter with such a Baal Ruach HaKodesh, and it shifts the course of one's life ever so slightly. Okay, good. So yeah, I think that's the answer, though, that a Jew has to be able to strike that balance between... Right? A person has to be able to be sad on the inside and happy. Even I'll tell you a great maisa. In the Maisa Ish from the Chazon Ish, in the biographical volumes of the Chazon Ish, it tells a story. It says there's a group of people waiting online on Rosh Hashanah to give Shalom Aleichem to the Chazon Ish. And this one bacher was standing online and feeling the intensity of the Yom Noran. And he gets to the Chazon Ish, and the Chazon Ish says to him, he sees like there's like this pachad on this young man's face. So he says to him, he says, "It's because of people like you that we're not allowed to do tashlich. We're not allowed to do tashlich on Shabbos. Because I see that you're carrying your averas around in such a heavy burden on you. And for you it would be a problem of hotzah to carry such a thing. To tashlich would be such a..." He says, like, you gotta relax a little bit. Okay, we all have averas, but you can't like carry it around like that. So I think, again, exactly how we strike the balance is a good question, but there has to be a balance. There has to be a balance of carrying the pains of the gullus with us every step of life, but being a functioning person and being able to serve Hashem with simcha at the same time.
You wake up saying, "Mo'ed Ha'am," you wake up saying, "No, I'm not."
You have to balance it out. I don't know if balancing it out means at various points of the day.
Yeah, why don't we have just like a point
during
the year, we're sad.
We do. It's called Tisha B'Av.
I know, but I was going to that point.
Yeah, we have you open up if you open up the Shulchan Aruch, the first siman in Shulchan Aruch tells you that a God fearing Jew mourns the Beis HaMikdash on a daily basis, every single night.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got to get with the program. We're slowing things down.
That God just wants to constantly feel so much pain.
Yeah.
Sit on the floor for 1 minute.
Start with sitting on the floor for a couple seconds a day and thinking about the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. It'll go a long way. But it is a hard thing. But that's exactly the point. That's why the tzaddikim are hopefully going to be screaming at us, "What are you doing? Don't forget what the goal is here."
Also, something really takes this like to heart. The dissonance just
drives
me crazy.
Right? So that's also... Hashem doesn't want us to become depressed. So how can I be genuinely sad, but be motivated by that sadness, not depressed by that sadness? Right? It's like in the Rav Shitzer said, how could you... The Rav Shitzer said to the Chose, right? Is that what it was? He was crying, and he said, and the Rebbe was laughing. He said, "How can you laugh? How can you laugh when I'm trying? To, you know, at a time when I'm crying?" So he says, "How can you cry at a time when I'm laughing?" He said back to him. And who says right? And that was Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva's standing, looking at Haravayis, and he's cracking up, and everyone else is crying their eyes out. And he said, "Rabbi Akiva, what do you see that we don't see?" He says, "I see Chorban, which leads to Geula, and you only see Chorban. So it has to be a sadness that generates, you know, spiritual growth, and moves the line forward." Okay, let's see. Let's finish the piece. So he says in Pasuk Chav Ches. Right, and what happens if that's still not enough? Va'omro v'im lo matza yado day hashiv, perishim yira hadon ki ein koch ba'am lispo chavalim od. What happens when Hashem says chavalim Mashiach? It's too much, and this is really a tefillah at this point. When we say to Hashem, we can't handle any more galus, and yet at the same time, what? At the same time, Hashem says, yeah, but you're also not paid up. So what do you want? The only way to get to the geula is through good deeds, which you're not doing enough of. Or through suffering, which now you're telling me you can't handle. So how are we ever going to get to Mashiach this way? Right? Hashem realizes that you just, it's not adding up. Our debt is too significant. And they don't have the strength to bear the penalties anymore. Even if it feels like Gullus is dragging on endlessly, you should just know that there is a final destination. That there is a Zman HaMugbal, there is a set time for Geula. We want Achichenu, we want to speed it up. But B'diavad, there's a track called Be'ita. There's a track called In Its Time. Then the Yovel will come and a person will return to his proper place. Because even if we are complete Risha, the Gula has to come at its set time. The Rav used to talk about, Salvechik used to talk about an amazing idea. That part of the belief, because there's one Manda Amr in the Gemara, and the Rambam seems to pass in this way. One of the reasons the Rambam... Okay, I'm saying too many things at once. The Gemara talks about the possibility of Geula being Tala and Klai Yisrael doing Tshuva. Right? Ein Yisrael Negal and Elab is Chos HaTshuva. We need to do Tshuva to have Geula. The Rambam brings that in Hilchos Tshuva. So I think I told you once that Rav Sal Zsolti, I think, brings that as one of the answers as to why the Rambam doesn't count Tshuva as a mitzvah. Why doesn't the Rambam count tshuva as a mitzvah? He counts vidur as a mitzvah. Why doesn't he count tshuva as a mitzvah? So the answer is, they say, look in the 7th parak of Hilchos Tshuva, where the Rambam says that tshuva is a haftacha. I mean, the Jewish people, asid in Yisrael, lashuv. It's a guarantee that they're going to do tshuva. So because it's guaranteed that we're going to do tshuva, it's not really our mitzvah. We don't have full control of it because it has to happen. Well, yidach mimenu nidach, Hashem's going to force our hand. So it's not really a mitzvah that's fully in our control. So there's no mitzvah of tshuva, again, because tshuva is a guarantee from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tshuva is a prerequisite for geula. So Rav Salvechik used to say, part of the animam in b'muna shlema, b'vias HaMashiach, part of our longing and belief for geula is really our belief in the absolute, it's our absolute confidence that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. Those things go hand in hand. Which is really a beautiful idea. I'm trying to remember it when you get to Elul time, you know, when we start to do official tshuva. But the belief in the redemption itself is deeply connected to our belief that the Jewish people will do tshuva. And I can't say that I believe, right, that I believe in Mashiach, but I don't see how Klal Yisrael is going to do tshuva. No. The way to get to Geula is through Klal Yisrael's tshuva. So part of my animam, it has to be my belief that we can do it. We don't have to sit it out and wait. But we should know, we should be comforted that even if we drag our feet, right, the Ketz HaGolus is going to come, even if we're Sham Gemurim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will force our hand and somehow will work things out for us. Okay, so this is the parsha of the impoverished brother, B'derech HaRemes. Okay, I really need to stop, but let's do one more piece. Let's go to the last piece in the parsha. As Shapsosai Tishmor. A simple ha'ara. We know the Torah mentions Shabbos many, many times. The parasha ends by warning us about Avodah Zarah and then telling us once again about Shabbos. Losasu lachem elilim, ufesal matseva losakimu lachem. Ve'even maschis lo sitnu ba'artzachem l'shtach v'salah, ki ani Hashem alokeichem. So basically, don't do Avodah Zarah in various forms. And then the parsha ends, as Shapso said, Yishmoru mikdashi tirao ani Hashem. So the Chaim HaKadosh wants to know, again Shabbos? I mean, we love Shabbos, but again Shabbos? Why do you have to mention Shabbos again? Tzarech ledas lama chazar kasa v'tziva kana la Shabbos. Clearly the Torah is putting Shabbos in conjunction with Lo Sasu Lachem Alilim. Why? Lomar. Kesheim Shavuot Azara Shekula Kechol HaTorah. Gam Mitzvah Shabbos Shekula Kechol HaTorah Kula. We want to put Shabbos in the context of Avodah Zarah to remind us that just like Avodah Zarah is a big, big deal, guess what? Shabbos is also Keneged Kol HaTorah Kula. It's a very big deal. Gam Od Yechavin Lomar Al Shmitos, or it could be that the parsha is ending exactly where the parsha began. The parsha began with what? The parsha began with Shmita. Ah, so maybe Shabbos in this context means what? It means Shmita. And why is Shmita? Why are we being reminded once again about Shmita alongside Avodah Zarah? It's referring to the Shemitos, which are called Shabbosos. Tichsiv Shabbos Hashem, Shabbos LaHashem, Shemazir Aleim LeShamram, V'samach LaZharazu Amro Mikdashi Tirao. It says, listen, watch out for Avodah Zarah, keep Shemita, and what? Mikdashi Tirao, and revere my Beis HaMikdash. The Chazal say, Lo Nechrav Abayis Ela Bishvil SheLoShamram Mitzvos HaShvius. It says in Pirkei Avos that because of a lack of observance of Shemitah, we lost the Beis HaMikdash. Again, as we were just explaining, the Mishkan, right, the Mashkon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sold the Beis HaMikdash to save us. V'chein Amar HaKosav, az tirtza aretz ha-shabsoseh, v'hu atzma omro ha-shabsosei tishmoro mikdashi tirao, shalo tesavvu la'achrivo k'shalo tekaimu mitzvah ha-shabasos. Don't be the cause of the Chorb Beis HaMikdash by not keeping Shabbos, meaning by not keeping Shemitah. And even though there's an element of joy in the fact that Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash and not us, as it says in the Medrash Tehillim, Mizmor LaAsaf, Im Kol Zeh, Ala Kol Yavi Hashem BaMishpat, Kol Masavei BeChetos HaDavar HaRa HaZeh BeYom HaMishpat. Don't think that just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you did Averus, and Hashem didn't want to destroy you, so what did they do? Hashem destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. He said, great, so that paid for my Averus. Hashem said, no. Realize that what? That you're going to have to answer. That the one who caused Hashem to destroy the Mikdash instead of destroying Klal Yisrael, realize on the Yom HaMishpat, they're still going to have to, one's going to still have to answer for it. Now he's partially referring to the nations of the world who got us into this mess, but he's also referring to the individual, I think he's also referring to the individual Jews. Right? So don't think that just because the Kadosh Baruch Hu poured out his wrath on Eitzim Va'avanim and not you, that you got a free pass. No, you have to feel, a Jew has to take achrayus, and a Jew has to feel that my failure to observe Shabbos, in this context Shemitah, is the cause of the Chorban. So we have to make sure. We have to make sure that we're mechazik the Indian of Shemitah, which is the Indian of Bitachon, which is the Indian of Bittul to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's the Indian, I hope to give a drasha this Shabbos, it's the Indian of not making excuses for oneself. Shemitah is the ultimate mitzvah where one could say it's too hard. And yet, you look in the Mefarshim, again, I don't have time to go into it now because I really got to go, but the Mefarshim explained that Shemitah is the mitzvah where a Jew has to really be challenged to say, instead of walking around and saying, oh, it's too hard, to say to himself, I can do this. Hashem told me this is a mitzvah. Hashem commanded me to do something which seems impossible, but if Hashem commanded me to do it, that means I can do it. Okay, so Mirtz Hashem, we should be zocha to do our part in helping our brother and our ish, Kadosh Baruch Hu, return to his home. May Rabbi Amen.